This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company. For more information and links to all our great podcasts, visit hartmanmedia.com.
Welcome to the Creating Wealth Show with Jason Hartman. You're about to learn a new slant on investing, some exciting techniques, and fresh new approaches to the world's most historically proven asset class that will enable you to create more wealth and freedom than you ever thought possible. Jason is a genuine self-made multimillionaire who's actually been there and done it. He's a successful investor, lender, developer, and entrepreneur who's owned properties in 11 states, had hundreds of tenants, and been involved in thousands of real estate transactions. This program will help you follow in Jason's footsteps on the road to your financial independence day. You really can do it. And now, here's your host, Jason Hartman, with the complete solution for real estate investors.
Welcome to the Creating Wealth Show. This is your host, Jason Hartman, with episode number 845. Thank you so much for joining us today. Listeners from around the world in 164 countries, we're always glad to have you, and we appreciate you following the show, referring people to the show, rating and reviewing the show on whatever podcast platform on which you're listening. That is much appreciated. So it is a hot, hot day here in the no income tax state of Nevada. I'm here back in Las Vegas from my whirlwind trip in New York City, and that was a busy, busy week in New York City, I'll tell you. A lot of interesting things I did there, and one of the things I was talking about when I was talking about my visit to the Tony Awards, it's just so interesting how like hypocritical this whole Hollywood crowd is, and you know how this kind of elitist mentality of everybody else should do all this stuff, but you know, we the elite class, we're not going to follow any of this stuff. So it's just kind of ridiculous. And you know, all of you listeners are smart, and you know, you get it, you know, but you get an outsider occasionally that listens to the show, and you know, they pop in for the first time and they don't just know what they're talking about, and so they why do you say that, that's ridiculous, you know. But it's not ridiculous, folks. It's you know, there's this old concept, lead by example, practice what you preach. And that's what we try to do here when it comes to real estate investing. You know, we're very transparent about what's going on in the company, what's going on, what I'm doing with my personal investment portfolio. I talk about that all the time. And it's just really, I think, the way to be. I think it's the way to live. You know, Abraham Lincoln, I remember, I think it was Abraham Lincoln, maybe misattributing this quote, a long time ago, he talked about how if you always tell the truth, you don't need to have a good memory. And the older I get, the worse my memory's getting. So, you know, there you go. It's just interesting. So back from New York, back in Las Vegas, but it is so hot here. There's a heat advisory this weekend. It's going to be like 115 degrees. Yuck. But hey, you know, with all the money you save in taxes, you can afford a lot of air conditioning and a lot of trips to cooler places. So that is one of the big things that I really recommend. If you can do it, if you can plan your life out, maybe you can't do it now, but in a few years, see if you can get yourself living in a no income tax state. The lower tax jurisdiction makes a huge difference. The lower or zero tax jurisdiction makes a huge difference in your overall wealth accumulation. You know, you do that for 5-10 years, and the compounding effect, remember, Einstein called compound interest the eighth wonder of the world, of not paying taxes, because, you know, income property, of course, is the most tax-favored asset class in America. But also, if you can set up your jurisdiction as such, it can really, really help you grow your wealth a lot faster. And that's what we're all about. So today, I thought I'd bring one of our investment counselors back on the show, and that is Oliver. Oliver, are you there?
Oh, you bet I'm here, Jason. It is fantastic. Great to be back on the show. I know it's been a little while.
Yes, it has been a little while. So I'm glad to have you back. And I just thought I'd ask, what is going on in your world? Give our listeners some insight into the real estate investment marketplace. What I want to do is just give people some, you know, sort of firsthand on the ground, you know, boots on the ground type of feedback, because you are talking with clients every single day. You are helping them find good quality investment properties in all of the different markets in which we work and recommend. And, you know, you've got your finger on the pulse, as all of our investment counselors do. Kind of what are people saying out there? How's it going? Let's just kind of dive into some of those topics.
Well, Jason, it's been a very, very busy year so far. Clients have just been very hungry for properties. They're very excited about the markets that we're into. And what I've noticed is there's definitely a snowballing effect. What I've seen is that as the clients start to roll in, they maybe pick up one or two properties. When they start to really see this happening, when they're accumulating that cash flow every month, they see those monthly deposits coming in, they start to get excited. They see this really happening. And that's the biggest thing, is that some of them may have come into it non-believers, or maybe just a little skeptical. They decide to, you know, maybe put their toe in the water, try it out with one or two properties. Once they see it's working, they just dive right in. And I've got some fantastic clients that have really taken the dive, really taken the plunge. I've got one client, his name's Adam. He's in Connecticut. I've been working with him for only 9 months now, and he is already on his 11th property and cash flowing over $3,500 a month.
That's fantastic. You know, you come into this as either a believer, a non-believer, or maybe you're just kind of agnostic. You're not sure, but you'll try it out. So you buy your first property and hopefully it all works out well. This is far from perfect. I want to be the first to say that. There are problems, and you know, hopefully you don't, you know, that's the thing. When you get those problems right in the beginning, rather than waiting 5 years to have your first like bad tenant, for example, or surprise repair bill, that can really derail your plan. You're going to have problems. Okay. That's why we have reserves. You know, I say that at least 4% of the value of your portfolio should be cash in the bank reserves. So if you have $1 million worth of properties, you should have $40,000 in the bank as reserves for vacancies, an eviction, a surprise repair bill, whatever it is. But it does become very addictive. And it's amazing, because it's a multidimensional asset class, the returns you can earn. Now, what you said there for your client in Connecticut that has now purchased 11 properties, and, you know, we've got people, one or two properties in the beginning, you know, some come right into it and say, I want to buy 24 properties. Some people, buy a lot more than that. Okay. But $3,500, you know, people, to the uneducated listener who maybe just popped in and is hearing the show for the first time, they might be saying, well, $3,500, 11 properties, big deal. How are you going to get rich doing that? I make $15,000 a month at my day job. Well, there's more to it than that. Okay. Because like the iceberg that sank the Titanic, there, a lot of it is underwater. You don't see it. It's not readily obvious. You're simply talking right now about cash on cash return. That's it. There's more dimensional return from the investment than that. There are tax benefits. There's equity pay down. There's inflation induced debt destruction. You know, there's the power of leverage, because to create that $3,500 a month in positive cash flow, and you probably don't know this number offhand, Oliver, so you're not going to probably be able to answer it. Maybe you do. But how much did he actually have to put into that portfolio to buy those properties? And that, I want you to make the point of what you said to me before we started recording from our Memphis property tour recently. You talked about how the down payment is not money you've lost. So anyway, tie those two together, because I think those are instructive.
Definitely. Yeah. In terms of my client, he's had to put in anywhere between, off the top of my head, I think it's about $150,000 to about $200,000 or so, somewhere in that ballpark.
Again, no one's going to be impressed hearing this now. They're going to say $3,500 a month, $150,000 in. Really? Big deal. What's so great about real estate? Ah!
There definitely will be people that will say that. There's no doubt about it. The most important thing, this is something that really came to light after speaking to one of our lenders at the Memphis event. One really important thing to notice, and let's use the example of a house that's $100,000. All that a lender's required right now, 20% down payment, plus the closing costs. So I want to give the example of that $20,000 that's going towards the down payment, plus, let's say, $5,000 in closing costs. What I really want to make apparent to the listeners is that $20,000 you put into the property, that doesn't ever go away. That stays. That's part of the equity that you now own in the home. What you are essentially paying for these houses is that $5,000 closing cost. That's pretty much what you're doing to acquire this house.
The rest of it is money in the bank, so to speak, right? It's just that's the savings account because that's equity. But I do want to kind of correct you on one thing. You said that down payment on the property never goes away. Now, it can go away because the market can, you know, depreciate and that equity can evaporate. However, the likelihood is that it won't happen. And even if it does happen for a period of time, it will come back in even greater quantity, as history has proven over and over and over again.
Exactly, Jason. With that said, there's such a drastic difference between the linear markets that we're in, where even if the market did take a pretty big hit and went down, let's say 10%, compare that to the coastal cities where the average price of the home, like I'm in California and San Diego, the average price of the home is $750,000. If that went down 10%, that's 75 grand. That's a lot of money. Not just that, but the rents here don't make any sense. Whereas the big difference is that in these linear markets that we're in, even though the prices may go down a little bit, you're still going to be renting the house for almost the same amount that you were renting it the previous year. And even if it did go down a little bit, you may take a small hit on your overall cash flow, but that'll go up as the years progress. And as you hold on to that property, the only time that you'll actually lose is when you sell that asset. If it's not cash flowing, you know, it's a different story, but these will still be cash flowing even if they did take a 10% hit.
Yeah, no question about it. So the linear market's much safer. Our plan is a very conservative plan, as regular listeners know. And that's a very good point. Okay, so the only real cost of acquisition when someone buys a property are the closing costs, because those are a cost of the transaction. So you lose those, your down payment is not an actual cost. And that's a good way to look at it. That's simply savings. So if you've got money in the bank now, say you've got $200,000 in the bank and you put that $200,000 into properties and you buy 8 properties with it, for example, then the only part of that money you're going to spend on those properties, and I say spend in quotes, is the closing cost. The down payment is not an expense. That is just moving the savings from the bank account to the equity account in the properties. So very important. It's a capital account, as it were, in the financial, parlance. Okay. So, I was looking for a word there, you know.
And the other good thing too there, Jason, to remember is those closing costs are depreciable.
Yeah, right, right. Well, some of them. You get to write a lot of them off, but that's a complicated discussion. Okay. So talk to us about some of your clients and like what they're doing. So that's one.
Definitely. I've got another couple of clients that are a great couple, Michelle and Michael. They are now on their 14th property. I've been working with them for about a year and a half, and they're doing excellent.
Awesome.
I've got a few other clients. His name is Frank, and he's in Pennsylvania. He bought his first property with us about 2 months ago. He was so excited after the close of his first one. We waited about a month or two. He got us some cash flow. He's so excited to move forward again. He bought two more right away. I've got another few clients in the Colorado Springs area, and I've got a few military clients, and they're captains, and they're making some good income, a lot of savings, and they're just moving forward with it. They understand it, and they just move forward with it. They're the engineering type, so a lot more the analytical type. And what I've noticed is they look at the numbers. They aren't as tied to the emotional aspect to it, and they look at the numbers. They say, this makes sense. Let's do this, Oliver. And we just, you know, we went ahead and moved forward, and I've got a few clients over there. They've purchased 4 properties. I've got a couple. They've bought 2 properties in Tennessee. In addition to that, I've got one. I've been working with one of our clients, Seppin. He did an intro for us a few months ago. from
it was great to have him on the podcast, and he also chauffeured us on a very long distance, Seppin. That was very cool of you.
Yeah, that was really nice of you. We really
And Seppin's a doctor, as I recall.
Yeah, that's right. He is a doctor. He's got a very, very busy schedule. So for him, as soon as I started to explain all of this, he came to our Meet the Masters event, and then he came to our Memphis event, and he's also already signed up for our Oklahoma City Tour event.
Oh, hey, we'll see him in Oklahoma City again. Yeah, coming up in just a couple weeks, few weeks.
Exactly, just two more weeks. So there's still tickets available. Make sure to buy them. A little plug there.
That's 3 weeks, actually, yeah, but about 3 weeks, yeah, right after 4th of July. Yeah, we'll look forward to seeing you there. And you can go, listeners, to jasonhartman.com, click on events, and get tickets for our Oklahoma City JHU Live, Jason Hartman University Live event. Good educational event where we dive into the deep numbers, and we're going to have some panel discussions. Then, of course, we'll have a property tour of Oklahoma City as well, and a bunch of great meals together and a lot of fun. Those are really fun events. So, yeah, good stuff. Okay, so tell us more.
So one more thing I want to stress with Seppin is that he is a doctor. He's super busy all the time. And when he understood the concept, I mean, he's already put 6 properties under contract and closed on half of them already in the last 4 or 5 months now. And he understands that his time is incredibly valuable, and he wants to make that hard-earned capital work for him. So he's just dove right in, and he's done a fantastic job.
Yeah, that's great.
Another few clients, I've got Craig and Sarah over in Idaho. They jumped in as well. They put 3 properties under contract. And we just closed on 2 out of those 3. So congratulations. And Brandon, he's up in the northern county of San Diego area. And he came to our Phoenix event last year. He was the lucky winner of the contest, came to the event. And then he just followed up right after that, came to our Meet the Masters and to the Memphis tour. And he's already closed on his 4th property.
Fantastic. Yeah.
All these clients are just doing fantastic, fantastic work here. And they're
congratulations. Yeah, this becomes very addictive. You know, income property, the most historically proven asset class in the entire world. And it's really amazing how after just a few short years, you can really start to see a real difference in how you grow your wealth. So, yeah, that's fantastic. Congratulations to all of those clients. And we have many more. That's just a few of them. Oliver, I don't know if you want to mention anybody else.
Just one more. Yeah. There's one individual. He came down. He was in the San Diego area. He called me up. He was very skeptical about all of this. He told his wife about us, and she was very skeptical as well. So I said, listen, you guys are going to be in San Diego. Let's meet for coffee. I met with them. I don't usually do that very much with clients just because everyone is across the country.
Well, across the world, really. Yeah.
Across the world, really. That's true. And so I met with him, his wife, and he had 3 kids with him as well. They're doing this whole coastal tour. Met with him. I showed him some properties. He decided to go ahead and dive right in. And he purchased 1 property already with us. And he's just sort of on the sidelines waiting for the cash flow to come in. And then he's really excited to move forward with the 2nd and 3rd property here shortly. So sometimes, you know, getting that face-to-face is great because it allows the client to put that face, that name to a face, and just, you know, really be okay with it and move forward with it.
That's fantastic. Good stuff. Well, that's great. Talk to us a little bit about like market conditions and kind of what you're sensing out there when you're working with all of our different local market specialists and in all of the different markets around the country where we do business. You know, give us a feel for what challenges are going on with you, with our clients, with the inventory providers, the local market specialists, just kind of an overview of what's happening out there.
Overview is that, again, you've heard this repeated over again on the show, inventory is tight. It's tight across the board. We're working incredibly hard at getting more inventory, opening up some new markets. That's generally the big thing is it's a bit of a race to the website. I've got some of my clients, they're checking on the website maybe 5 or 6 times a day sometimes, and they're just looking for our inventory, seeing what it is that we have available. I've got some clients I bought in, for example, like the Florida market. They were really happy with their returns, and at the moment, we just don't have much inventory there. And again, this is a common theme that I'm seeing is sometimes we're in markets when it makes sense to buy in, and the property's cash flow fantastic, but then, you know, if the prices appreciate to the extent where it doesn't make as much sense anymore, you know, we'll take a bit of a break from that area. And then in terms of other problems, what I want to say is listeners and clients, do not get discouraged. Whenever you see an expense come up on your property, don't get discouraged. Know that you've allotted a certain amount to cover those expenses during that year. So if you see an expense for maybe $200 or $300, you know, don't worry about it. It's okay. You've allotted a certain amount for this per year. Obviously, if it's an expense that you think is questionable, feel free to touch base with your investment counselor, ask us about it, see if it's a reasonable cost. If it's not, you know, then we'll definitely bring it up with the local market specialist. But overall, that's generally what it is that what I'm seeing right now in terms of, you know, potential issues. It's just the overall market condition being quite tight right now.
Yeah, it definitely is. One of the things that I think people should know about overcoming adversity and the challenges sometimes is right out of the gate nowadays, a lot of people have this huge issue and discouragement, and that is that they can't get a property. It's just very hard to actually buy a property. You know, you'd think, hey, I've got money. I'm the customer here. You know, sell me a property. I want that one. I want that one. I want that one. But you may not be lucky enough to actually get the property. It's difficult. And it reminds me of back when I was a traditional real estate agent, there are people in the traditional real estate business that do, you know, different types of work. And one type is what's called expired listings. So just give an example and I'll tie this into buying a property, right? Because when someone has their house for sale and the listing expires, certainly this is very rare in this type of market where everything's selling with multiple offers and so forth. But, you know, depending on the market cycle, you'll have a lot of expired listings. And there are some real estate agents that just really go after this. And it's like their specialty, you know, they go after expired listings. So they see them expire in the multiple listing service, and then they call up the owner and say, hey, you know, your old agent sucks. Why don't you list with me? Well, hopefully they don't say that. That's not too professional. but you know, they talk about why don't you list with me? I can sell your property, blah, blah, blah. You know, so the whole sales pitch. But here's the problem. Sometimes it is very difficult to actually find that owner and find their phone number and get in touch with them so that you can try and get them to list with you, right? And here's the thing you always notice. Occasionally, the phone number is just in the multiple listing service because that's the phone number that all of the real estate agents use to call that owner to say, hey, I want to show your home to a prospective buyer. That's when it's on the market. And sometimes the listing agent just leaves the number in there after and the listing expires and the owner, the seller, is getting a million phone calls the next day, right? But sometimes the agent is smart. They take the number out and, you know, it's very hard. The owner's totally unlisted. The only way to find them is go over and knock on the door. They may not be home, whatever, right? Here's the lesson. Okay. And this is how it ties into buying investment property. The harder it is to find that owner, okay, the fewer people who are calling them. Right? The fewer agents you're competing with, if it's that way for the real estate agent, right? So the same is true when you deal with anything as a real estate investor. You know, the higher the bar, the higher the barrier to entry, the harder it is, you know, the harder it is to qualify for the loan, to buy the property. You know, maybe you got to pick multiple properties and you're going to lose a few before you get one. And you've got to jump through a whole bunch of hoops to qualify for the loan. Well, all of those barriers, all of those difficulties that we perceive as difficulties as real estate investors actually preserve the opportunity for those who are more persistent. You know, there's a couple old sayings here, right? One is the meek shall inherit the earth. We've all heard that old biblical saying, right? But the other one is things may come to those who wait, but only the things that are left over by those who hustle. Okay. So things may come to those who wait, and patience is certainly a virtue, but only the things that are left over by the ones who hustle. So, you know, this does take a bit of work. It's much easier to go in and give $500,000 and just write a check to a guy at Charles Schwab or Merrill Lynch or Ameriprise or any of these financial services firms But their whole offer just, it's lousy. Okay. You just don't hear of anybody who has created, who's not an insider, who's created any significant wealth taking the easy road of doing that. Yes, you have money. And I get that, you know, when you have money, you feel like you should be in the position of power, in the catbird seat, in the driver's seat. You're the one with the money. He who has the gold makes the rules, as the old saying goes, right? And it's not always so easy to deploy that money. And the harder it is to deploy it, the fewer people are willing to make the effort and go the extra mile. So my advice here, and the lesson from this little kind of tangent rant here, is that you combine money, you combine capital with persistence, okay? And you put those two things together and boom, magic happens. Because one barrier to entry is you got to have the capital to invest, right? And so that excludes a lot of the world, a lot of the people that don't have the capital. But the other barrier is you're not just going to be lazy about it. Like the masses of people will just go give their capital to the financial advisor and you'll be put into those lousy Wall Street investments where the insiders get rich and everybody else gets like a mediocre return, right? So the other barrier is persistence, tenacity, being willing to jump through some hoops to get the properties and to qualify for the loans and then to deal with the occasional issues that come up afterwards. So you combine these two things, capital plus effort, and the effort isn't really that big. It's just bigger than these very mediocre investments on Wall Street. So that's a distinction. I mean, Oliver, have you had any clients who just kind of say to you, hey, look, this is hard. You know, I'm just going to give up. I mean, I got all this money to invest. It's burning a hole in my pocket. But they're like, this is too difficult to try and buy properties.
Jason, I've got a couple of examples for you in that realm. So first, number one, as you mentioned, persistence. I've got one client. His name is James. He's in the San Diego area as well. He's recently closed on five
homes. As well as you, because you're in San Diego.
I'm San Diego. Yes, that's what I mean. So he's helping his father-in-law pick up some properties, and we're going to have a conference call this weekend. And I just want to just emphasize the whole idea that right now, if the property does not have an exact 1% rent to value ratio. I mean, this one has like a 0.95 or something like that, but the house is going to be undergoing a roughly $25,000 to $30,000 rehab. So I just want to emphasize that it's more than just the price of the home and just more than the overall, rent to value ratio. As important as that is, it's more than just that. It's going to be undergoing, tons of work. So I just want to emphasize that. And when you're talking about going to the bank, giving the financial planner your $500,000 in cash to invest, you're definitely right, Jason. That's one of the easiest things you can do. Whereas on the opposite side, if you were to start picking up properties, maybe you review your monthly statement. It maybe takes you 20 minutes every month based on the number of properties that you have. That does require a bit of time and work, but your overall returns are going to be so much higher. I mean, I've got one client. She recently, she didn't become a client. She decided to just go ahead and use the funds, which was almost $300,000 that she was going to get from the sale of her primary home, and put them all into the stock market. And I probably spent 15 hours with her over the phone going over all the different scenarios, and yet she still just did not want to do it. And that just blows my mind when people do that.
Well, I think one of the myths is that there is a such thing as a passive investment. And if you're investing in the Wall Street assets, the stocks, bonds, and mutual funds, first of all, you're probably doing it at a huge peak of the market. Now, I know some might be saying, well, isn't that true in real estate too? I don't know. I think it's true in the cyclical markets, in the California markets, the South Florida markets, the expensive Northeastern markets. Yeah, I think there's definitely a bubble. I've talked about that many, many times. And who knows how long the bubble can keep going, but we're definitely in bubble territory. There's no question about it. Some point it will pop, but not in the linear markets. I mean, these linear markets, what you just said was very telling, Oliver. 0.95 rent to value ratio Really? That's phenomenal. I mean, the fact that you can get even close to 0.1 means that we are still on solid ground. The fundamentals of good quality, linear market, conservative real estate, buy and hold real estate investments make sense, hands down. You know, here's how, you know, you'll know if those markets ever get into bubble territory. When those rent to value ratios get below 0.7, meaning that $100,000 house only rents for $700 or $650 per month, as an example, and it probably means the house is $200,000 and it rents for $1,300 per month is what I really should have said, because the house appreciates, but the rent doesn't in that example. Then we are getting to bubble territory. Okay. But we're not even close to that. Rent to value ratios are still very good. We have very sound fundamentals in the markets we recommend. Now, granted, the cyclical markets are way out of whack. Okay. I wouldn't touch them with a 10-foot pole. Granted, and even though we don't recommend these markets in this type of investing, but if you listen to some of my old podcasts and you're listening to all the Flashback Friday episodes, or you just go back into my back catalog and you got 844 episodes you can listen to, you'll hear me talk about in 2010 how, gosh, you know, it's pretty tempting to be buying a property in Southern California. And, you know, those prices have skyrocketed. Okay. So, you know, it's, yeah, it's, the fundamentals are still good. I mean, what's like the worst rent to value ratio you're seeing on any of the properties we have, Oliver?
I think the worst one is probably about a 0.75. And that's predominantly because it's new construction. And it's expensive.
Yeah, and new construction, you're paying a premium for the new construction. Expensive new construction properties, and you know, but there you're kind of buying something else, because when you're buying a new construction, even if you're in a linear market, the new construction property is more likely to act like a hybrid. So it's not just the market, it's also the property type, the property class. In a new construction property, you know, you're getting a Class A property that is likely to appreciate better than a Class C property, but that Class C property will have better cash flow. So, you know, what is the answer? Well, the answer is to have a mix in your portfolio, okay? Not a mix of, you know, don't be thinking you're an investor in these crazy, outlandish, overvalued markets, but have a mix of properties in good linear and hybrid markets that are maybe some A-class, you know, new construction type properties. And those aren't going to have the good cash flow, but they're going to have a better appreciation potential and certainly lower maintenance cost. And then you blend those with B and C type properties that offer much better cash flow. And I think that's a really good strategy. And then you diversify geographically into at least three, but not more than five of our linear and hybrid markets nationwide. And you're going to be in good shape. You know, it's part of the 10 commandments of successful investing.
Those are excellent commandments, by the way. We should do another Flashback Friday. I know you've already done a bunch of them on there, but they're very, very good reminders.
Yeah, they are. That's the thing that really keeps you on track, you know, is the 10 commandments of successful investing. So good stuff. Well, hey, Oliver, we got to wrap it up. I know you've got to go. You got to pick up your wife at the airport. And I just want to say, join us for our Oklahoma City event, JHU Live, Jason Hartman University Live, and a property tour in Oklahoma City. I think you'll really enjoy that. That's coming up right after 4th of July, the first weekend. And you can go to jasonhartman.com/events for that one. And then also join us for the Venture Alliance group. I know it's short notice. We're just a few days away from that by the time you'll hear this. But we are meeting in Chicago. We've got our biggest Venture Alliance planned in terms of attendance so far. And that's going to be a fantastic weekend event in Chicago. Those are kind of our high-end mastermind events. And by the way, Oliver, I just want to give a shout out to this great book I just finished. Everyone's heard of Napoleon Hill, right? You know, he's the very famous author who wrote Think and Grow Rich, right? Back in like the 30s, I think it was. Well, his other book that I just finished that was released as something he wrote like 70 some odd years ago, but it just was released in 2011, sort of narrated by Sharon Lecter, okay, who's been on the show several times, and she's one of the co-authors of the Rich Dad series. This is by Napoleon Hill. It's called Outwitting the Devil, The Secret of Freedom, is the Secret to Freedom and Success. I just finished that on audio today. It's excellent. I couldn't believe how good it was. Outwitting the Devil by Napoleon Hill. It is a relatively new book by a guy who passed away a long time ago. And it's just, it's phenomenal. I love the audio version because it has Sharon's voice. It has another narrator's voice. It's just really well done. Outwitting the Devil. He talks over and over. He repeatedly mentions the power of a mastermind. You must be in a mastermind. You must choose by design your friendships and your associations in life. That is so critically important. Like Jim Rohn said, and I've said it before, we're the average of the five people we spend the most of our time with. Our income will be the average of those people's income. And it just happens. And that's why you need to be in a mastermind group. So check out VentureAllianceMastermind.com on short notice. If you can join us in Chicago, we got room for, I don't know, 2-3 more people we could still fit in probably. Check that out, VentureAllianceMastermind.com, and also on JasonHartman.com in the events section as well. Oliver, thanks for joining us. Any last comments before you go?
Definitely. If you're out there, you're sitting on the sidelines, and I've spoken to you before, or maybe you've spoken to another investment counselor, get a hold of us. Stop making that money sit there for you. Get rid of that lazy money and start making it work for you. Get a hold of us. We'd be happy to strategize on coming up with a plan on helping you do so. Otherwise, happy investing for sure. All over the country and all over the world.
Excellent point, Oliver. Well, thank you. Yep. Happy investing to all listening. Thank you so much for joining us today. And we will talk to you on Wednesday, just a couple days away. Thank you so much for listening. Please be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss any episodes. Be sure to check out the show's specific website and our general website, HartmanMedia.com, for appropriate disclaimers and terms of service. Remember that guests' opinions are their own. And if you require specific legal or tax advice or advice in any other specialized area, please consult an appropriate professional. And we also very much appreciate you reviewing the show. Please go to iTunes or Stitcher Radio or whatever platform you're using and write a review for the show. We would very much appreciate that. And be sure to make it official and subscribe so you do not miss any episodes. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode.